Well, first of all, I'd like to welcome all of you who are not regular members of the Cathedral to the Cathedral Basilica of St. Peter and Paul as we prepare to celebrate the week of the World Meeting of Families. In a special way, I'd like to welcome our visitors in the sanctuary. There are a bishop and a priest from Kenya and a priest from Rwanda, all of them involved in family life ministry in their own diocese. So join me in welcoming our visitors. We'll have many opportunities during this week to welcome visitors, so please show the best face of the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection, especially the face of the Catholic Church in our broader community. For those of you who are regulars, you'll notice something different about today. We have a new sound system in the cathedral. Can those of you in the back hear me? Yes, it looks like they can. That isn't always the case in the past. And I would ask you to join me today as we celebrate Mass in praying for the man who gave us the money to do it. It's several hundred thousand dollars to rewire and to put in the new sound system. And I heard this morning that he had a slight stroke yesterday. So we have to keep him in our prayers. Please do that. I'm sure he'll appreciate your support, your prayers. Next Sunday, we'll have Mass with the Pope. So this is my last chance to preach on a Sunday for a couple of weeks. But I'm sure you'll enjoy the Pope more than the regular preacher. Our first reading is from the Old Testament, from the Book of Wisdom. And this reading is an echo of a passage from the book of the prophet Isaiah, which is referred to by scripture scholars as the Song of the Suffering Servant, a mysterious person in the book of Isaiah who is going to suffer at the hands of God's people. And we know that was fulfilled personally in the life of Jesus Christ. But there's something in our hearts, as well as the hearts of Peter and the apostles, that resists conflict and suffering. We think that if we're good, everything's going to be okay. And a sign of being good is the fact that God will keep our lives peaceful. That doesn't seem to be the case in the life of Jesus or in the life of those of us who try to live the gospel life faithfully. In this reading, there is the presentation of the conflict between good and evil. It begins by saying, "The wicked say, 'Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our training.'" Evil people find good people to be obnoxious. We generally think the other way around, right? That when we meet evil, it bothers us, and we say evil things are obnoxious. But in this reading, we learn that for those who have embraced a life of self-centeredness or evil, they find goodness to be obnoxious. And as the reading goes on to say, "With revilement and torture, let us put the just one to the test." So, my dear friends, my dear sisters and brothers, if you embrace the gospel, those who don't embrace it are going to put you to the test. And it's very important for all of us to understand that in advance, or else we're going to be terrified by the difficulties and pain that God allows to take place in our life if we embrace the gospel. Now, we see that very well and clearly illustrated in today's gospel reading, which is a continuation, more or less, of what we heard last Sunday. You might remember last Sunday in the gospel, Jesus, for the first time, predicted his suffering and his death. And in response to that, Peter took him aside and corrected him, telling him, "Now listen, you're the Messiah of the Lord, that can't happen to you." And in response, Jesus said, "You get behind me, you devil, because the way you think and the way human beings think is not the way that God thinks." Okay? So Jesus predicts his passion, his first apostle, The future Pope gets in the way. In today's gospel, Jesus is continuing his journey up to Jerusalem, where he will be handed over to those who will persecute and eventually kill him. And as Jesus is trying to teach this to his disciples, people like you and me, as he's sharing with them his concern and his worry, looking for some kind of support and compassion from his friends, their response is even more astonishing than the response of Peter last Sunday. They don't even listen to him. And instead, as Jesus is talking about his future pain and suffering, they're arguing with one another about who is more important. Now, can you imagine the arguments? Peter, he might have said, I'm the most important because Jesus told me that I'm the rock on whom the church will be built. And then his brother Andrew might have said, well, that's okay, but I was the first one who followed Jesus, and I'm the one that brought you. And then there was John, who said, well, you know, I'm the beloved disciple. And Nathaniel probably said, well, you know, when Jesus saw me, he said, this is the man without guile. You know, we don't know what they were actually saying, but, you know, they had reason, each one of them, to think that he might be more important than the next. So Jesus, after giving this talk about his own pain and anguish, says to them, what were you talking about on the way? And they were silent. And even earlier it said that when Jesus mentioned his suffering, it says they did not understand the saying that he was giving and were afraid to question him. Now, I think all of us in the face of evil are afraid. And maybe the reason they didn't ask Jesus any questions is they didn't want to know the answer. You know, they wanted to hide from the truth. And of course, when Jesus asked them, what were you talking about? They were embarrassed to be so focused on themselves when Jesus was asking them to focus a bit on what he was saying and on his love for them. But they were silent, and they didn't ask questions. And into their lives, Jesus spoke one of the foundational teachings of our Christian faith, a lesson in discipleship. Jesus said to them and says to us, if anyone wishes to be first, he shall be last. He shall be last of all and servant of all. Then taking a child, he placed it in their midst and putting his arms around it, he said to them, whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me. So, the heart of Christian discipleship, there's many parts of it, but one of the foundational parts of the heart of Christian discipleship is that you and I learn to be submissive to other people, to place others first rather than ourselves. This is supposed to take place in all levels of the life that we live. I'm reminded of a story of someone told about Cardinal George, who is the recently departed Cardinal Archbishop of Chicago. A priest met the janitor at the cathedral and said to him, what's it like working for Cardinal George? And the janitor of the cathedral said, I don't work for him, he works for me. Because he understood this passage from Jesus's teaching. Now, all of us are supposed to be submissive to the needs of the other rather than ourselves. So it's true about the church, but it's also true about your homes. And we're about to embark on a week celebrating and recommitting ourselves to family life as the church understands it. And at the heart of family life, successful, happy family life, is mutual submission. Wives submissive to their husbands, but husbands at the same time submissive to the point of giving their lives to their wives. Children being obedient to their parents, but parents being submissive to the needs of their children. I mean, that's the heart of family life, where we learn this kind of self-sacrificing love. And if we don't submit ourselves in generous service and love to one another, things fall apart. We heard about that in today's second reading, which I'm going to go to in a moment. But there's four or five questions I want us to ask ourselves at this point in my reflections. When you face difficulties in your lives, what do you do? Do you actually face them or do you run from them? Are you like the apostles who were quiet? Or do you ask Jesus the questions that are necessary for you to find answers to those difficulties in your lives? And Jesus is there, always ready to give us an answer if we submit ourselves to Him with a desire to really learn. And He stands with us in the journey that lies ahead. So we have to be willing to face our difficulties and ask Jesus to help us find an answer. Second point is, in your life, just for a minute now, reflect on whether or not you are submissive to your family members and to your friends, to people you share work with and share life with. If it's at the heart of Christian discipleship, what are you like? I'm not asking you to examine the conscience of your husband or your wife or your children or your friends. You should look at you, yourselves, look at your heart. Are you willing to, as Jesus says so clearly, take the last place? Because that's how we show that we really are going to be first in the kingdom of heaven. Okay. Children, how do you look at children? Now, Jesus, in today's gospel, takes a child and places the child in the middle of his disciples as a sacrament, which means a sign of what it means to be a disciple. Jesus tells us in other places in the Bible that we won't get to heaven unless we become like a child. And what does he mean? Well, children are a lot of things. They're difficult. And they're a burden. I think we all kind of identify with that part of childhood. We are difficult and we're burdens for one another. But children are generally honest about themselves. I mean, they will lie later on when they learn they can do that. But initially, children are just quite transparent and honest. And that's a quality of childlike a character that God would want from each one of us. Children are dependent. Without adults, they die. You know, children cannot flourish without the love and support of others. Are we dependent on God? And are we appropriately dependent on the members of our families and on others? You know, we really do allow ourselves to be loved and cared for by other people in our lives. Children are vulnerable. You know, they can be easily hurt. You know, are you vulnerable or are you hard-hearted so that you won't be hurt? You know, all those kind of characteristics Jesus are telling us are a sign of a faithful disciple. You know, a willingness to be vulnerable, a willingness to be dependent on God and appropriately dependent on one another, and an ability to be honest and transparent, not pretending to be something we're not. And if we do that, we become capable of receiving the kingdom of heaven in our lives. So, let's talk a little bit about children. You know, children aren't welcomed in the world today like they were in the past. On the way here this morning on the radio, I heard a report about the immigrants that are flooding into Europe from Syria and other places in the Middle East. And it's a very difficult circumstance. And the immigrants aren't being cared for appropriately in most places. I heard on the radio that the group that receives the least attention are the orphans. You know, the ones that don't have anyone to care for them. And I think in our own culture, there's been a diminishment, in the culture of the United States in the 21st century, there has been a diminishment of our love and respect for children. For example, the laws around divorce are simply about the husband and the wife and not about the children. No. And people, when it comes to divorce, sometimes pay very little attention to children and focused on their own personal needs. Abortion, I think, is the most horrible example of a lack of love and respect for children. And it's a law of our land, sanctioned by our government, that parents can kill their children without anything standing in the way at all, as though there could be anything that would justify that in any circumstance. And many of us who are Catholics are silent in the face of that horrible scourge that we have in our country in the 21st century. The concern that the bishops of our country have about immigration is around children, parents being separated from children and children from parents, husbands and wives, because of unjust immigration laws. You know, the bishops do not favor breaking the law, but the bishops favor changing the law so it doesn't need to be broken in order to protect family life and to protect children. Even the tax code is written in a way now that presumes there aren't many children. And people laugh when you have a lot of children, right? They say, oh, you're a Catholic. You must not practice birth control because you have a lot of children, as though having children is somehow something that we should be ashamed of. And I've actually met, unfortunately, many young couples today who are planning for a Catholic marriage who aren't sure they want to have children because they're such a bother. They want to have their own independent life and do what they want to do when they want to do that, and they see children as getting in the way. So we need to have a conversion of mind and heart in the United States in our attitudes towards children, to see them as a gift to whom we can pass on the gifts that God has given us in our very rich and successful way of life here in the United States. So those are the kind of practical kind of reflections I'd ask you to have. But then I'd like to just briefly go to today's second reading from the letter of St. James. You know, at the heart of our struggles in our family is our selfishness, right? There's something in our human heart that is in turmoil all the time. And St. James in this letter captures that characteristic of the human heart so very, very well. This is what he says. Beloved, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. In the beginning is jealousy and selfish ambition. Do you know what jealousy is? Jealousy is the fear that something you have will be taken away from you. Like if we're jealous of another person, we're afraid that person's going to attract our friends or our family to them rather than to us. You know, jealousy rises out of self-centeredness. We want all the attention to ourselves. The sister of jealousy is envy, which is not about people, but about things. Wanting something that someone has that I don't have. I want that too, and I'm really happier if they don't have it and I have it instead. You know? Well, all of that arises out of the kind of disorder in the human heart that St. James speaks about. He says, where do the wars? You know, there's many wars in the world today. That's why we have so many refugees fleeing Syria. Where do the wars and where do the conflicts among you come from? Is it not from your passions that make war within your members? And we have that war within ourselves, struggling against the good news of the gospel that Jesus has proclaimed to us in today's gospel reading. So we ask the Lord, as we begin this week of celebrating family, to change our hearts, to give us a desire to accept and then live his words. We ask the Lord to teach us the truth of this saying, if anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last and the servant of all. May God make that true of you and make that true of me.